Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This Court should make the writ permanent for three independent reasons. First, there is no personal jurisdiction with respect to the claims of the 85 plaintiffs who don't reside in Missouri, who did not view advertisements in Missouri, who did not obtain the product in Missouri, and were not injured in Missouri. Second, this Court should hold that all of the plaintiffs' claims are preempted by federal law, as numerous courts around the country have already held. And third, this Court should sever the claims of the 92 plaintiffs who suffered distinct alleged injuries. Only 91 of these plaintiffs have any connection whatsoever to the city of Missouri. If it pleases the Court, I'd like to address these three issues in turn, starting with personal jurisdiction. Your Honors, plaintiffs are up to their fourth theory of personal jurisdiction. They presented three separate theories below to the Circuit Court, and the plaintiffs now acknowledge that this Court and the United States Supreme Court have disposed of all three of their theories. So they're on to the fourth one, which is a speculative, attenuated chain of but-for causation connected to clinical trials. And this theory also fails. I want to note the plaintiffs...
Why wouldn't it be better to evaluate the personal jurisdiction issue after a full record is made?
Your Honor, because as in BMS and as in Norfolk, the theory of personal jurisdiction fails as a matter of constitutional law. And indeed, sending this case back down for a full record and discovery would not only be inconsistent with BMS and Norfolk, but would also violate Bayer's due process rights, the very rights that BMS and Norfolk are designed to protect. Personal jurisdiction is about due process. And subjecting Bayer to the onerous discovery that plaintiffs proposed in the Circuit County, Missouri, a court that lacks personal jurisdiction, would violate Bayer's due process rights. We know how that court's going to rule because that court, with the same judge, ruled in Dorman. We have a writ pending before this court in Dorman. The Circuit Court denied that writ. It's before your honors. Only this court can fix the rampant constitutional violation to which Bayer's being subjected. Almost 2,000 plaintiffs, over 90% of whom have no connection to the state of Missouri, have filed their cases in the city of St. Louis, trying to make that city a nationwide hub for mass tort litigation. Bayer, at this point...
I'm sorry, counsel. But you mentioned the Dorman. I didn't get a chance to look that up before we came up. So Dorman is before this court now. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
When did you file that?
We filed the writ yesterday afternoon, Your Honor. So the same judge who would get this case on remand decided Dorman, the Court of Appeals, denied our writ. It's before this court. It's on the motion to dismiss, just like this case, and just like how Norfolk was on a motion to dismiss. BMS was on a motion to quash the subpoena even earlier. In none of those cases did you have discovery because, like here...
Wouldn't it make some sense to wait till we determine what we're going to do in Dorman to decide this case then?
Well, I would say Dorman presents the exact same issues that this case presents, and there's no reason to wait for Dorman.
But that's assuming that the record's developed the way you anticipate it's going to be developed with discovery. Is that fair to say?
Not at all, Your Honor. We can take their factual allegations as true. Even so, their theory of personal jurisdiction fails as a matter of constitutional law under BMS. It fails for a number of reasons. But let's just start with BMS. Under BMS, it is clear that plaintiffs have to connect the alleged forum contacts to their specific claims. They haven't done that here. Their specific claims, they've abandoned the design defect claims. There are basically four theories left. You got manufacturing, you have training, failure to report post-approval adverse events, and misrepresentations. None of those four specific claims has a connection, let alone the constitutionally required adequate connection.
Well, they say the connection is that without clinical trials, you never approve a drug, so without clinical trials, they wouldn't approve a device, so therefore every device is connected to every place where clinical trials were held.
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you address that argument?
Certainly, and that theory fails for three separate reasons. One, BMS. Two, it's speculative. Three, it would give rise to nationwide jurisdiction in virtually every state, gutting general jurisdiction.
Simply another way of getting to general jurisdiction.
Exactly. It's another way of getting to general jurisdiction. It's another way of having nationwide jurisdiction. The clinical trials, by their nature, occur all across the country, even the four they mentioned occurred in two dozen different states, 24. They don't mention the 23 other clinical trials. You get close to every state in the union, but what's more, their theory is a failure to follow up on alleged adverse events. Under their own recognition, that could occur not just in the clinical trial subjects, but in every single state across the country, for that matter, around the world. You would have worldwide jurisdiction, the city of St. Louis, or perhaps, I'd say, every single city in the country under that theory, because you've alleged adverse events and a failure to follow up in every state across the country. It gets you the same place. You'd be gutting general jurisdiction, underdoing Your Honor's good work in the Norfolk Southern case. You would have, in essence, litigation, jurisdiction, whenever a nationwide company does business in the state of Missouri. And that fails under BMS. It's also completely speculative. It's speculative because they're assuming that these clinical trials could not have gone forward were it not for Missouri. Putting aside the fact that you have 49 other states in the country in which Bayer could have done clinical trials, there's no reason to assume that Bayer's predecessor, Conceptus, would have thrown in the towel and not done the clinical trials but for the state of Missouri. So their theory even fails under but-for causation. But more than that, let's look at their theory. They say, again, there's a failure to follow up, which, by the way, is a bald legal conclusion. They don't say what the standard is for following up, let alone mention on which patients we allegedly failed to follow up. But bouncing off of that legal conclusion, they make the following speculations. They speculate that if we had followed up, we would have gotten more information. That information would have been negative. It would have been material. And somehow, it would have affected the FDA's ultimate determination. That's all speculation. They speculate that with the follow-up, the FDA would have done something differently, and they can't even challenge the FDA's position, and they don't because of preemption. But then they further speculate that if the FDA had done something differently, that their clients, their plaintiffs, would not have gotten Esure. So it's completely speculative, in addition to, in essence, gutting general jurisdiction.
Even if we assume for the moment we agreed that this could provide a basis for jurisdiction, have they raised this too late? Do you get a what is our rule in Missouri on whether you get a re-alleged new basis for jurisdiction if the first ones fail?
Well, Your Honor, I would say they have raised it belatedly because they did not raise it until this court's decision as a Hail Mary pass in the 11th
hour.
Yeah,
I understand that. Can they do that, I'm asking, or is it too late?
Well, I would say, Your Honor, that it is too late for them to do that, but at the same time, I recognize the same theory is being teed up in other cases, so if Your Honor does not address it here, you'd have to address it in Dorman. But I think it's abundantly clear, regardless, that under BMS, there isn't any jurisdiction. The fourth theory fails, which is why they're trying to duck this court's ruling. As you probably noticed in their supplemental filing yesterday, they actually say, we hope you don't address this theory, because they recognize it's invalid under BMS. And let's walk through the specific claims that were at issue, that are at issue here, because BMS makes clear you have to connect those specific claims to the forum contacts, and they don't do that. One claim is manufacturing. Well, there's no dispute that Esure was manufactured in California and abroad. It was not manufactured in Missouri. So if you have a woman who obtains Esure in Oregon, she might be able to sue in Oregon, where she lives, or California, where Esure is manufactured, but not Missouri. So if you look at the specific claims, as opposed to some clinical trials that occurred over a decade ago, the specific claims, which is the language in BMS, there's no connection. The same is true for the other claims they have here, failure to train. Let's say that there is a physician in Alaska who is allegedly trained inadequately. Well, you could bring that claim in Alaska, where she was inadequately trained, or where Bayer or its predecessor were at home. But you can't bring that claim in the state of Missouri. Again, if you look at the specific claims at issue, as the U.S. Supreme Court requires us to do, there is no connection between those claims and the alleged form contract.
So you said they dropped design defect, manufacturing, it wasn't manufactured here, and that did connect the clinical trials. Failure to train, there was an allegation of lack of training for her doctors. What other claims do they make, and why aren't they connected?
Sure thing. There are two other theories they have. One is the failure to report adverse events after the approval, after the clinical trials. And those adverse events allegedly occur anywhere around the world. The failure to report would be where Bayer, or its predecessor Conceptus, was located. Conceptus is a California company located in California.
We don't have a theory of failure to report. We have failure to warn and design defect and manufacturing defect. So how does that connect?
So this is part of the failure to warn. The design defect claim they abandoned already. Failure to warn, that failure to warn claim comes down to the failure to report. If you look at the preemption analysis, I think they would even acknowledge they can't say failure to warn the women directly. That's clearly preempted. They try to get around citing a Ninth Circuit case, Stengel, by failure to report to the FDA. They pick and choose the Ninth Circuit versus the Eighth Circuit, which is the more appropriate circuit. But putting that aside, that's preemption. The failure to warn theory comes down to a failure to report adverse events to the FDA. But that failure would be in California, where Conceptus, their predecessor, is located, or New Jersey, where Bayer is now located. You could say perhaps Delaware, Indiana, where they're incorporated, but certainly not Missouri. It's California or New Jersey, and the report would go to the FDA in Maryland. Again, no connection to Missouri. You have California, New Jersey, Maryland, not Missouri. Finally, you have the misrepresentation claim. And the misrepresentations would be from, again, where the companies were located to where the women live. So if there's a woman in Florida and she saw misrepresentations allegedly in Florida, she could sue in Florida, but not Missouri. There's no connection to Missouri.
Counsel, what if you've got a corporation that's at home in California, the drug is manufactured in the marketing plan developed in California, but the trials that led to that were conducted entirely in Missouri, and there's irrefutable evidence that the trials were manipulated and sham and produced an FDA approval that it otherwise wouldn't have gotten. Would you say then that Missouri is not a rational jurisdiction in which to try claims arising out of the trial process?
Well, it depends upon what those claims are, right? If you were challenging the clinical trials themselves, like you have in the Cortina or the MM case, which was decided incorrectly for other reasons, but if you're challenging the clinical trials themselves, if your claim is about the clinical trials and 100% of the clinical trials were in Missouri, then you would perhaps have personal jurisdiction there. But their specific claims here are not to the clinical trial. Their specific claims, again, are manufacturing, training, failure to report adverse events, and the misrepresentation. But what's more, this is not a case where you have 100% of the clinical trials in Missouri. You have clinical trials all across the country. Again, the four clinical trials they cite involve 24 different states. There are 23 other clinical trials, and their theory is one of failure to follow up, which could be in all 50 states. So for two reasons, that hypothetical is distinguishable. If it pleases the court, I'd like to reserve my time for rebuttal.
Sure.
May it please the court. Good morning. I'm Sean Jez again on behalf of the respondent. First of all, I want to thank the court for allowing me to be here today to represent the 92 ladies that I represent that have been injured because of this defective product that was manufactured by Bayer. There's three things I want to address today. First of all, the defendant Bayer has not met its standard, the extraordinary relief standard, for the court to grant this writ. The court should quash that writ because the court has not usurped her judicial power. Second, the circuit court had specific jurisdiction with regard to the claims of all of plaintiff's claims, because they arose out of or were related to Bayer's contact with the state of Missouri. And third, plaintiff's claims are not preempted because they are parallel to federal regulations and they are not different or in addition to those federal requirements.
But that's not what you alleged in the petition that's teed up right now. Is that fair to say?
I'm not sure that I understood your question, Your Honor.
Your petition now, the way it stands right now, I know you've got this request to amend, but you haven't alleged this specific jurisdiction.
Well, you're right, and here's the reason why, Your Honor. So the
trial court did actually usurp its power because with what you're alleging thus far, you don't have jurisdiction.
Well, I would disagree with that, Your Honor, and here's the reason why. When Judge Moriarty issued her opinion in December of 2016, she based her opinion on the Kmart decision, which allowed the court to have jurisdiction for
it. Kmart did not reach that issue. It said we don't have to decide that issue.
I'm sorry?
Kmart didn't decide on consent.
Well, it talked about if you had a
registered.
It
said we're not deciding it.
I'm sorry?
It said we're not deciding it in Kmart.
Well, I believe that Judge Moriarty, that's what she rested her opinion upon.
And so if she's wrong, again.
Well, again.
It wasn't new law, in other words. We hadn't addressed that issue.
Well,
is there precedent that says every time we make a decision, you get to go back and redo it? And if there may be, but I haven't seen anything that says every time we hand down a decision, you get to bring up new theories in the trial court, and that's what you want to do. Can you address whether you can do that here?
Well, I think that the way the record was at the time in 2016 when the court issued her opinion, that's what she believed the state of the law was.
Of course.
Okay. So then in April, this court came down with the Norfolk decision, and at that point, certainly specific jurisdiction with regard to a registered agent was abolished. It was no longer the case. And so what we need and what we've asked, and obviously we filed our amended complaint, is at the time when we filed our petition, we believed that that was the state of the law, and obviously the judge
Well, people, of course, decide on what they believe is the state of the law. I think what you're trying to say is, and I want you to address why you're correct, there's a difference between changing the law, restating the law, versus clarification of the law. And why did Norfolk change the law as opposed to clarify the law? Same for Bristol-Myers Squibb. Where they said we're clarifying what the law was previously, and that's what courts do all the time. We don't let everybody redo everything. If there's a total change in the law and overruling, that may be a different situation. Can you address that here?
Sure, I will do my best to address that, Your Honor. Obviously, the law was not clear. There needed to be some clarification, and I think the Norfolk decision clarified what the law was at that point in April. Before that, we alleged in our complaint that there was stuff that had gone on in Missouri that obviously Ms. Johnson, she had her device implanted in Missouri, and we believed at that point that plaintiffs, based on Mrs. Johnson's jurisdictional requirements, that met the jurisdictional standards for all of those plaintiffs. In addition, there were, I believe, six or seven other plaintiffs in Missouri that did that. What happened in Norfolk wiped out that entire consent argument there, but at the same time, the BMS decision wasn't around also. So there was no clarification with regard to specifically what does the court mean with regard to specific jurisdiction in the contacts that a defendant had to have in the state of Missouri. Obviously, the defendant had contacts in the state of Missouri because they had promoted the product. They had had doctors there that had implanted the product through the clinical trials.
So how is that different than general jurisdiction, which the U.S. Supreme Court said was not valid in Daimler, and that did overrule what this court had said in
Well, Daimler was a general jurisdiction case. You're right, Your Honor. And what you had there is you had total out of the country defendants there. That tried that were trying to be held for jurisdiction in California, although they had no specific contacts whatsoever in the state of California. They had done nothing. In this situation,
as you know, Daimler said that the fact that you do business, even Walmart, even no matter if you do tons of business, you're a national company all over the U.S., which previously this court had said was adequate for general jurisdiction. They said it's not. It has to be where you're at home, principal place of business, and so forth. Aren't you just asking us to recreate general jurisdiction under this theory of if you did any activities in the state, it's some kind of specific jurisdiction?
No, absolutely not. In fact, if you look at the BMS decision, the BMS decision specifically says, and one of the things that the defendant is focusing on here is what the plaintiff's contact is with the state of Missouri. That's not what the law is. That's not what BMS says. BMS specifically says that the suit must arise out of or relate to the defendant's contact with the forum, not with what the plaintiffs do in the state of Missouri. It's what the defendants did in there.
And so tell me the specific connection between what defendants did and these plaintiffs who are not Missouri plaintiffs.
Absolutely, Your Honor. There are several things that the defendant did here. First of all, it started out before a product, and I'm not going to bore you with the details of how to do a PMA unless you would like me to, but what happened was the defendants first purposely availed themselves to the state of Missouri by reaching out to doctors in St. Louis and in Chesterfield to participate in their PMA process. What they did is they first went to Dr. Hovenspien, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name, to do some pre-feasibility studies with regard to their device. After they did that, the next step was to do feasibility studies. They purposely directed those feasibility studies to doctors here in the state of Missouri. Dr. Gilpsonson and Dr. Levine.
How do those connect to the specific claims here? Are you alleging that they falsified their data or that they were misled in some way or they ended up prescribing for these plaintiffs? Or how does that connect to these individuals?
Well, that connects because the claims that the plaintiffs bring here arose or are related to the beginning of this product. This product would have never been on the market had it not been for these clinical trials that began in the state of Missouri.
So can everybody in the 25 states that had clinical trials could suits be brought in all 25 of those states on the same theory?
Well, I don't know that, Your Honor, because I don't know what all happened in those other 25 states, but I do know what happened here in Missouri, and that is they specifically contacted with three doctors here in the state of Mississippi, excuse me, the state of Missouri, and not only were these just some random doctors, these doctors were the principal investigators or the co-principal investigators of these studies. In fact, the study that was done by Dr. Levine had the second most participants than any study in the entire United States.
And did that lead to a design defect, manufacturing defect, or a failure to warn?
Well, I think the studies are related to the arising out of and relating to the defendant's conduct in this state. And had it not been for this approval process, these plaintiffs would not have had the device. And not only that, but the...
But that's true of every device that's ever been marketed. So what is it about the trial that... from which your claims arise?
Well, there's...
It's not just the but-for can't be enough because nothing gets FDA approval without trials.
Well, you're right, but the FDA trials aren't in every state of the United States. The defendant has to go out and purposely seek out a jurisdiction in which to do their trials.
Counsel, I'm drawing the conclusion there's no connection, so if there is one, you should tell me what it is.
Okay.
I mean, how did that lead to some connection to these plaintiffs?
Well, the first connection, let's talk about part of the pivotal study. Phase two of that study was to do training. The only training site whatsoever for doctors in order to learn how to use this device arose here in the state of Missouri.
And did mistraining lead to some of these incidents?
We believe that is correct. In fact, part of their instructions for use requires that the doctors be trained before this device can be put in, and we have alleged a negligent training theory in our complaint that these doctors weren't trained properly, and as such, the device is either migrated, they weren't put in properly, that caused injuries to these plaintiffs.
And that was because of training in Missouri?
Well, that is where the training program began. That is where they did the accreditation.
Is that where her doctor was trained or their doctors were trained?
Well, I can't say, not with specificity that each doctor was trained in Missouri, but the training program itself arose out of and relates to all this because that's where it was developed. Dr. Levine started the training program here in Missouri, and from there it went out everywhere throughout the United States. And it wasn't only just clinical trials that we're talking about here. The defendant Bayer also directed a marketing campaign that was the ground zero right here in the state of Missouri. What they did is they hired three different companies here in the state of Missouri in order to create this national marketing campaign that created all this hubbub about the eSure device that caused doctors to go out and implant it.
And again, how does that connect to a theory of liability? Did that lead to a defective manufacturer design warning? How does that?
Well, it certainly leads to the failure to warn claims because what they were doing with this national campaign that began here in the state of Missouri is that they were projecting these misrepresentations throughout the United States. It'd be like a defendant who owned their primary business in California, but they came to Missouri and bought a radio station, and from that radio station they broadcast it nationally everywhere about, buy our product, our product is great, you're not going to get pregnant if you use our product. And so that's kind of the ground zero of why we
so
have.
So you're saying they misrepresented that it would be effective to prevent pregnancy?
That's part of it, yes. I believe that is part of the thing is that they have represented that this drug, that this device was going to be the most effective birth control device.
And is there allegations that someone heard these representations in Missouri or that were made from Missouri?
Again, I believe that under the BMS, it doesn't matter where the plaintiffs heard these misrepresentations. The point is that they started in the state of Missouri. This is where they came from, and then they were projected outwards. The BMS decision, and if you look at the Walden decision, specifically says you do not, in a specific jurisdictional context, you do not take into account the plaintiff's contact with the forum state. So we're not looking at what Ms. Jones did or Ms. Smith did and what they heard in Missouri or not. It's what did Bayer do in the state of Missouri that then related to the causes of actions here. And here we know that they did clinical trials that supported the approval of their PMA process, and then they created this national campaign, advertising campaign, that went out all over the United States and the world. And
is this all alleged in your amended complaint or petition that's hanging out there?
Yes, it is. And in fact, some of this is also alleged in our original complaint, too.
Okay. So I guess I'm hung up on this procedural issue.
Sure.
So are you asking this court then to consider the specific jurisdiction issue with respect to if your amended complaint is allowed to be filed?
That is correct. I think that Your Honor...
Okay, then let me ask the next question. And it sounds like to me you don't need to do any more discovery on with respect to this issue, because you're talking about how we know this. So you don't need to do any more discovery with respect to this jurisdictional issue?
That is not correct. In fact, in May of this year, we served jurisdictional discovery on the defendant so we could develop our jurisdictional case more and learn exactly what additional jurisdictional basis it was.
So if we don't follow your... what you're requesting, and we do make this writ permanent, would you like to do that additional discovery?
Absolutely, we would, Your Honor. We believe that it's necessary. And, you know, when we serve that discovery, all we get back from the defendants is a two-page objection. On one hand, they want to say, you have no specific jurisdiction to the state of Missouri, but on the other hand, they say, well, we're not going to give you anything to let you prove your case. They stonewalled us on both sides, and I believe that, obviously, we have the right to discover any additional pertinent facts that may relate to the jurisdiction of Bear here in the state of Missouri. It's obviously, just from what we can learn in the public record, there are substantial contacts that Bear has with relating to this device here in the state of Missouri. And, you know, they went as far as to eSure was first commercially available in St. Louis, Missouri. That's the first place that this device was ever sold, was in St. Louis. And so we don't have to look at whether Ms. Jones or Ms. Smith had it implanted in Missouri under the BMS decision and under the Walden decision. You look at what contacts the defendants developed in the state, the forum state, and that being this great state of Missouri. And here we know that they did clinical trials, both from the perspective of determining the safety and effectiveness of this, and also with regard to the training of the doctors that were going to implant this. And then, once that was done, they went through and they developed a national marketing campaign in which they basically distributed all this information nationwide so that women would go out there and do it. In fact, they touted in their records that the marketing campaign that they developed in Missouri increased the eSure website traffic, and brand awareness of their numbers. So it went out there and it basically convinced doctors coming from the state of Missouri that, hey, this is a good device that we should use for permanent sterilization of women. And that's, you know, what they did, and this contact directly arises from and relates to their conduct here in the state of Missouri. Thank you, Your Honors.
Counselor, while you're on your way up to the podium, I've got a question for you. Assume, like I think most of us do, that personal jurisdiction is a moving target for both sides in this case. I mean, there are certain doors regarding personal jurisdiction that are being shut that weren't shut when these cases were filed, and you're winning those arguments. I guess my question for you is the type of allegations in the amended petition, are those clearly covered by a United States Supreme Court decision or not?
Yes, Your Honor. I'll address it.
Which United States Supreme Court decision clearly covers their allegations and suggests that there's no jurisdiction?
Bristol-Myers does, Your Honor. But if I may, I'd like to challenge the premise when you said that there's new law. There's not.
I didn't say there was new law. I think I said personal jurisdiction is a little bit of a moving target. We can call that new. We can call it clarification. But I mean, there was a time when this court wasn't issuing writs, and now we're issuing writs based upon decisions from the United States.
That said, Your Honors, plaintiffs admit in the most recent brief, they say BMS was based upon long-standing precedent, and BMS had said settled principles. So I don't think it's a moving target. But even so, BMS disposes of their fourth theory of jurisdiction in their amended petition. As Judge Wilson recognized, but-for causation can't be enough. And I think BMS should be read as requiring something more than but-for causation, because it requires an adequate link to the specific claims. And as Judge Stiff made clear, there is no connection to the specific claims. You look at their specific claims, and they don't dispute it.
They even said they carried some through to their amended petition from their original petition.
Pardon, Judge Draper?
They said they have carried through some of their claims from their original petition through to their amended petition.
They say that, but whether it's the original petition or the amended petition, their specific claims are not connected to the informed contacts. Whether it's manufacturing, training, adverse events, or misrepresentations, those are not connected to the informed contacts. What they're trying to do, Your Honor, is look to the experiences of other women who participated in clinical trials or post-clinicals over 10 years ago. That's not a connection to their specific claims. Their claim, their theory is also speculative. They say the FDA wouldn't have approved Esher. Esher would have never been on the market. But first of all, that's not one of their specific claims. And it can't be one of their specific claims, because that claim is squarely preempted. But second, it's totally speculative. They have no basis for saying that but for Missouri, Esher would not be on the market. There are 49 other states in which Bayer, Conceptus, could have done clinical trials. They would not have thrown in the towel but for the state of Missouri. So their theory is speculative, in addition to being categorically barred by BMS and preemption. What this comes down to, Your Honor, as Judge Stith recognized, is they're trying to water down, once again, the test for general jurisdiction. And this court in Norfolk said you can't do that. The Supreme Court in BNSF said you can't do that. And that's what they're trying to do once again. They're trying to make the city of St. Louis a nationwide, indeed a worldwide hub for mass tort litigation, in which any woman anywhere in the world, from Austria to Australia, can file their claim in Missouri, because supposedly Missouri is the basis of one of the many clinical trials that are conducted all around the world. They mentioned marketing. Again, this is rejected by BMS. Their very marketing theory is rejected by BMS. First of all, they're relying upon the connections of third parties, not Bayer. And second, they're not even connecting those actions of third parties to their particular alleged injuries. They don't even say, for instance, that those third parties made misrepresentations, let alone that such misrepresentations actually went to other states, reached the plaintiffs, and caused the plaintiffs to buy Esher. All of that is lacking from their amended petition as well as their original petition. Finally, Your Honor, preemption. The court should, I beg the court to address preemption as well and simply follow the decisions of numerous other courts around the country that have squarely addressed these issues and provided the analysis. CEG Norman, the issue is legal, it's straightforward. Federal law preempts all their claims. Unless Your Honors have further questions, I see my time has expired, and I urge Your Honors to make the writ permanent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a well-argued case by both sides.